And welcome to Inside Albania with me, Alice Taylor. This week, I'm going to be focusing on what has been a very big story. On Monday, the Italian and Albanian government announced a new deal, which will see asylum seekers picked up by Italian vessels in the Mediterranean, brought to Albania, and their applications processed here. This caused a lot of controversy and has been a hot topic of debate throughout the whole week. I'm also going to be discussing the European Commission enlargement report on Albania, which was published on Wednesday. On Monday, Prime Minister Edi Rama and Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni signed an agreement that will see the creation of two centres in Albania, funded by Italy and under Italian jurisdiction. They will be processing asylum seekers picked up by Italian vessels in the Mediterranean. While the agreement and the exact details are still largely under wraps, this is what we know so far. One, there will be two centres, one in Shengjin, which will deal with reception, and one in Giada that will manage asylum application processes. The exact locations, however, are still unknown. Number two, the centres will be operational for at least 1 5-year period. Three, they will be closed, which means that asylum seekers will not be able to leave at any time. Four, they will be staffed with Italian officials and guarded by Albanian police. Five, Italy will cover all costs of establishing and running the centres, as well as for housing the migrants. Six, the centres will have a capacity of 3,000 people at any one time, with a maximum of 36,000 people passing through every year. Seven, the individuals will remain in Albania while their claims are processed, and at the end of the procedure, Italy will facilitate their departure from Albania. Now, reactions to the news have been intense, with opposition politicians decrying a lack of consultation, consensus, or a vote in Parliament. The European Commission has said it risks violating EU asylum law, adding they want to see the agreement in full. And Amnesty International has been very strong in its condemnation, calling it illegal and dysfunctional. Meanwhile, the Albanian government insists it's an act of solidarity and a demonstration of Albania's EU perspective. Now, I actually live in Shengjin for half of the week, and I do have my concerns, mainly related to any negative or positive impact on the local community. But also, there is still a lot to unpack about the legality of the situation and what the implications are. So I decided to talk to some experts. I also caught up with Milena Harito, who is a former minister and member of Albanian Parliament, now living and working in France. Milena, good afternoon and welcome to Inside Albania. Milena, are you in favour of the agreement between Italy and Albania? And if so, why?
I think that the agreement Rama Meloni should be considered on two different levels. First on the political level, and then on the implementation level. And I really want to make the distinction between both. On the political level, my opinion is that there are two very good reasons why this agreement is a good step forward. The first one would be that Albania is in the process of integration with the European Union, with a stabilization and association agreement since 2006 now. So it is something that is 17 years old. I'll say it's no more a child, it's like a grown up nine by now. So it is good that Albania in this relation with the European Union can bring something. It's not only that we are a child, that we have to do our homework, and then when we are better, we will be part of it. We can bring something on the table. I think this was also the message that President Macron brought in Albania during his visit. And we have things to bring. I can just mention three of them that are very important. The first one is, we bring security in the frontiers of Europe. We are a member of NATO, and by that, we bring security. We are important in the roads of energy because we are in the road of gas from Azeri fields. So we bring an energetic autonomy to Europe. And this is also a very important thing, and we have to build on that. And of course, the third one is the migratory issue, where my opinion is that we can also bring something to Europe. Because of geography, let's say we are around Mediterranean, we are in the roads from the Middle East. So by the fact that we are there, we are involved in this migratory issue. So to show some solidarity on this migratory issue, it seems to me quite normal. There is a second argument on, let's say, again, on the political level, why this migratory issue should be seriously tackled in Albania. We all know that we have a natality problem and a migration of Albanians from 3 decades now going abroad. So we have a demographic problem in Albania, which is already there. Everyone knows when you discuss with entrepreneurs, with companies, they have some problems to have people to work in tourism, in manufacturing, in services to the persons. Everyone is looking for persons that for a workforce. So we will need in the years to come to have migrants that can contribute in the workforce in Albania.
Now, the reaction at a local level has been rather intense, to say the least. Now, do you think this is because migration is a sensitive topic everywhere? Is it because Albania hasn't really seen much in the way of waves of migration? Is it a lack of information on exactly what this deal means at a local and national level? Or do you think it's motivated by politics? So, for example, not liking the ruling party, not liking the prime minister, etc.
I think the first reason is we are not used of it. So, and to be used of it, you need time. We have a look on Italy. Italy was not used to have migrants 40, 50 years ago. Now they are more and more used, but not really, because this is what brought also the Meloni coalition in power. We can see that in France, where the far right in the last presidential election was really very near to win, and we'll see in the next elections this is yet there. So the far right is raising everywhere in Europe, and their main point is the migration. So anywhere in Europe there is a problem about migration. There are emotions about that, and emotions are real. They have to be tackled. And to tackle them, you have to tackle them with a political attitude, meaning to have real discussion, to consider this sensitivity about the issue, and to bring real solutions about that. So, of course, but on the other side, I think the agreement, people are saying, "Wow, Edi Rama is deciding by himself." Well, perhaps, I don't know that, but I am sure that the agreement, Rama Meloni, is a first step, and on both sides, in Italy and in Albania, it has to be approved by the governments, by parliaments, and also to be, let's say, to be developed on how it will be implemented. And here is, of course, in the implementation, there will be a lot of issues also to be discussed.
And lastly, so aside from EU solidarity, etc., do you see any other benefits of this deal to Albania or the local economy in Shengjin, which is one that is primarily driven by tourism at the moment?
Well, here we are in the implementation part of the issue, and of course this is the second level. As I said, we have a political level where I have arguments to say I think it can be beneficial for Albania and on the, for the reasons we developed. On the implementation, there are a lot of incertitudes that have to be tackled. The way the agreement will be implemented, the security issues that can be on the table because of people being there. On my opinion, but for the moment, we don't really know the details of how it will be realized. But this is a public issue. It has to be discussed publicly. Some choices have to be done. I wanted also to say that we have a now almost a new Asylum and Migration Pact of the European Union. It has been discussed by the European Union, if I'm not wrong, since 2020. So they are 3 years, they are discussing to find an agreement. So it's not an easy issue. I mean, we cannot find an ideal solution in 3 days because it's now on the table in Albania. But we have to apply, I think, the conditions that are developed in this new Asylum Pact of European Union. They consider all the cases of how you have to act where people are in an emergency situation or when they are in a more stable situation where you have to just analyze their conditions to enter or not to enter in the European Union. My personal opinion is that it would not be good to have two big kind of prisons in Schengen and keep people there like in a zoo. We can go more, we can do a bit more, I think, if we discuss this issue of how we want to consider migrants in Albania. You yourself, you are as I am a migrant in France from decades, but you are a migrant in Albania, and you can say how it is easy or not easy to have the papers, to work, to have everything, to learn Albanian, to do a lot of things. And of course, you are as I am, a very privileged migrant, which is not the case of people that generally come for very difficult reasons. So we need policies to treat some question on the good side, I would say, on the positive side, to bring something to Albania, to bring a workforce that could stay, perhaps. I have seen also in the social media a lot of discussions on, well, they will be there just for some days. Then they will contact the Albanian traffickers to go back to Europe. Well, this of course is unacceptable. There is a nonsense. We don't have to nourish traffics, of course. But we know that we need migrants. We can have better conditions in Albania than in many countries in the world. So perhaps part of them can stay in Albania if we can create the conditions. And on the other side, for those that will be considered by the Italian rules to enter or not in Europe, well, they have to, in the meantime, perhaps to have the right to work with a temporary permission of work. So it can bring another new dynamic also for Albania.
Milena, thank you very much. I'm joined online today by Dr. Andy Hojai, a lecturer in law at UCL in the UK, as well as an author and a researcher. Andy, I understand that tensions are running very high over the situation and that people are upset and worried, but I have seen an incredible amount of racism and hate speech on social media. I've had quite a lot of insults directed at me personally as well. But also, I'm sad to say that some of this rhetoric has come from journalists as well. And I find it quite sad that Albanians, who for years have been top of all charts for asylum and migration into Europe, and have received horrific xenophobia from politicians, media, and the public, are choosing to use racist slurs when voicing their opposition to this deal. Now, I very much believe that you can oppose an idea a deal or a decision, and I welcome people opposing and questioning the government anywhere in the world. But I think that when you use racism or any kind of hate speech, you immediately remove all credibility from your stance. So that's my view, but I've brought you here today to talk about yours. So welcome to Inside Albania once again.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be with you and to discuss this topic. Well, first thing first, I am mortified by what I've also read and heard, and I do condemn them, and I am completely in line with you. What is quite interesting is that for far too long, we have always complained, and when we have been at the receiving end, we have been very quickly to condemn it. However, now that the tables have turned, it seems that we are acting exactly like those that have made those remarks for Albanians. So I think it's quite wrong in the way that it's being framed, and it's taking away all of the credibility in the discussion and some of the questions. Absolutely, we can question both governments, the Italian and the Albanian government, as well as the details and why it was kept not transparent and so on. But we should not include racism at all. We should not make any sort of remarks that can diminish any of the initiatives that they are trying to do in this specific deal. So absolutely, I think it's wrong, and we should learn by this experience. And I was hoping this should not be the case, especially because Albanians have been at the receiving end. And it does not help to have a constructive debate about what actually is in the deal, what Albania can achieve, and what we should achieve, and how do we move forward from this.
And actually, that's what I was going to ask you. You know, in your view, what role can the media play in sort of keeping this debate focused on the issue at hand rather than exacerbating it, making it too political, making it sort of too full of hate speech?
Well, first of all, we have to remove the sort of racist and xenophobic remark, and also the casual remarks that they kind of slide it in. And it's quite unfortunate. I've seen that quite a lot. Secondly, it's really important that we get experts to talk about specific angles of the deal, because not everyone can sort of comment on the deal specifically. So one could come from a human rights perspective, one from the legal perspective, one from the EU law perspective. So the media plays a really important role in terms of framing and who they are putting in to explain some of it. Also, who the government is bringing in to comment on these specific issues. So the media can play a real important role to inform it.
As for the agreement itself, I remember around a year or so ago, I believe it was, there was a similar deal with the UK, which was rumoured. The Albanian government were quite quick to deny that they would consider processing asylum applications for the UK in Albania. Why do you think Albania was very against this proposal from the UK, but now with Italy, you know, it's something great, a sign of solidarity?
So the agreement with the UK, actually the talks were quite advanced, but politically, because it got leaked, and one of the challenges, or at least it was viewed as a challenge with the UK, was that the UK was going to give money and then Albania would process everything. And that's what the UK managed to do with Rwanda, where the UK is paying £170 million a year, and then Rwanda would deal with all of the processes and so on. So that was kind of some of the detail. And when we compared with the Italian agreement, from the information that we know, so let's make that clear to everybody. But in terms of why he felt with the UK, the political parties did not really see eye to eye, so there was not really sort of a trust between one another. So it's been also quite openly during Theresa May's tenure, as well as during Boris Johnson's tenure, when there were a lot of requests from the Albanian side to do joint operation on illegal migration and organized crime. That never came into effect, because there was a clear distrust between the UK institution and Albanian institution, because they feared in Albania they were quite corrupt and unable to share data specifically. So that kind of failed through. So that's kind of the background of it all. And then it was quite of an easy way out to say, well, you know, we won't do it. However, with Italy, it's slightly different than the UK, because with Italy, Albania is far more close. And Italy does carry a lot of weight in the European Union. And since in Albania, all political parties agree on EU accession, and the UK does not have any more a voice because of Brexit. Therefore, in politics, it's all about practicalities.
Yes.
And it kind of makes sense that with Italy, we go forward, because Italy could push forward the EU accession to Albania. And since it's a founding member of the EU, does carry a lot of weight. So that is behind. Of course, solidarity does play a role, and that's not something to be denied of, because many Albanians turned up to the shores of Italy in the early 90s, and we do know from that experience. So that is in the Albanians' conscience. And unlike the UK, we only managed to go to the UK in the late 90s or 2000s. So with Italy, it's a completely different dynamic.
As an Albanian, what are your views on this deal? You know, do you think it could benefit the country in some way? I mean, aside from EU accession and sort of having the support of Italy there, do you see any benefits for Albania? And that is assuming that whatever is implemented in the end is in line with EU law, local law, and international law.
So in terms of unpacking this specific question, and thank you, I think it's important to, when we describe about the benefits, to be quite clear. First of all, I think Albania, it's right, and it should be able to help on the global crisis on migration. Half of Albanians live abroad, so we know what it's like to struggle, we know what it's like to be without a home, we do know what are all those implications. So if Albania, how many resources it has, even though it has really little, it's a good gesture to offer shelter. Mm-hmm. What I would have preferred would have been that Albania would do it on its own, rather than having another country ask and so on. So Albania could have said, look, we are helping Europe on our own, this is our capacity, and we'll be delighted to help. So I think that would have gone far, far better in terms of people's conscience and getting people more on board. Having said that, I could see some sort of benefits in terms of Albania showing solidarity with the rest of Europe that is trying to do its share. Europe, on the other hand, it seems to be unable to fulfill its very basic quota. So every country in EU should take about 30,000 migrants per year. And it seems that they're trying to avoid this by engaging with third countries, such as in the case of Italy, but also Germany is exploring this idea, France, and so on. So that does worry me. However, it's quite important, and it will be a test for Albania when it gets it, that it's able to fulfill its human rights obligation, it's able to apply its legislation. So I could see that being sort of a positive in that aspect, that you're helping others. And if you can show that you are able to manage this, it will be good moving forward. But it will also be good for, and a test for the society, so how acceptable we are from different. So that's really new for us, because we haven't had that in the past. So that's my perspective, but I understand everyone would be quite divided on this. But still, you know, we should not do it, and I need to reemphasize it, not in a negative connotation.
Now, I actually, I asked Twitter what their view was. Now, on Twitter this week, I got into quite a lot of heated debates about this situation. But I asked my followers, are you in favour of Italy processing asylum applicants in Albania as per the recently announced deal? And we got 548 votes in just a few hours, and 84% of the population said no. Population, my bad. 84% of those who responded said no, 13% said yes, and 4% had other reasons. And these included Albania not having the infrastructure for so many refugees, the fact that Albania has a problem with lots of people leaving the country and it's not doing enough to stop that from happening, a lack of information to be able to form a proper decision. Why must it be Albania? Why Albania? Why not somebody else? And also, as you mentioned as well, the fact that as Albania is a parliamentary republic, there was no consultation done with parliament, with other politicians or the public. And this particular person said the government cannot just act arbitrarily. Andy, thank you very much for your time and for your very interesting insights on this matter.
Thank you very much. It was a real pleasure. Have a good day.
And you. I am also joined today online by Lorenzo Piccoli, a research fellow at the Migration Policy Centre at the European University Institute with years of experience in migration studies and management in an academic context. Good afternoon, Lorenzo. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Now, I want to ask a few questions, starting with, can Italian flagged vessels, so that's vessels that are registered in Italy, are they allowed to legally pick up migrants in the Mediterranean, either inside or outside territorial waters, and then take them to a third country to apply for asylum?
So it's complicated and we don't know for sure. What we do know is that under international refugee law, a person has the right to arrive in a country, apply for asylum in that country, and then the responsibility for processing that application and granting the rights that come with it rests on the country where the person has arrived. Now, of course, if a person sets foot on an Italian boat, then the responsibility lies with the Italian state. What this agreement is doing is giving the right to Italian jurisdiction to bring people to Albania and process their applications in Albanian territory. Now, here we are in uncharted waters because what this creates is Italian jurisdiction in another foreign country. And I think it's a matter of discussion for Albanian constitutional law, first. Second, for Italian legislation, I am not aware of any other arrangement of this type. And finally, it's a matter of discussion whether that would be permissible under European legislation. The European Commission ran a simulation of a similar scenario a few years ago, in 2018, and what they concluded is that this would not be possible because, in all effect, what such a measure would do, it would bring an extraterritorial application of European law, and this is neither feasible nor desirable. That was the conclusion of the Commission in 2018. Now, of course, the Commission has not had the time to evaluate this proposal yet, so we have to see what it will conclude in this case. But based on what has been discussed until now, it seems unlikely that this can be done.
I also heard, and I came across a discussion online about this. So from what I understood, the centres within Albania will be Italian territory, essentially, under Italian jurisdiction, staffed by Italian officials, subject to Italian law. Now, I also understand that these centres will be closed, and that means that Italians will ensure that none of the applicants leave the premises, and if they manage to, it will be Albanian police that will return them back to the premises. People have raised concerns about this, you know, essentially a sort of, I heard the phrase, prison camp. Can, under Italian law, can an asylum seeker legally be sort of essentially locked inside a centre while their claim is being processed?
Again, it's complicated. In Italy, there are cases of what is called administrative detention, but within boundaries. So, for example, a person cannot be detained without an individual assessment. And in this case, an individual assessment seems to be lacking. And the person should be given full access to the authorities and possibly a lawyer in the country where she or he is applying for asylum. In this situation, it's very hard to see how it could be done. Mm-hmm. Italian tribunals have ruled against similar measures in the past. Mm-hmm. So again, what we can expect, I cannot read into the future, but it's very likely to expect some court ruling against these situations of detention.
It sounds like there's a significant amount of legal uncertainty here. I mean, from the EU side, from the Italian side, and then, of course, in the Albanian side as well, you mentioned the constitution. My initial thought was, is this constitutional? Do you, in your personal view, do you think this is actually going to go ahead? Because in my mind, I cannot actually see this happening. realistically, in the current form that we are discussing?
Yeah, so far we have discussed about some legal issues. I think even if we imagine a situation where this could legally move forward, there would be a lot of practical issues that would arise. Just to give you one example, let's imagine a person in Albania, either the person is granted refuge and so the person is brought to Italy, or a person is not granted refuge, is denied international protection. In that case, again, we don't know what would happen. In theory, the person should be repatriated by the Italian authorities, but we know that this happens extremely rarely. I think the latest statistics of Eurostat show that less than 10% of the people with an order of repatriation are actually sent back to the country where they have nationality. So what will happen in that case is that the person should be brought to Italy. And again, we don't know where. This would also mean that persons are moved around as if they were packages, which I personally find very problematic. Yeah. So what we can conclude is that this is mostly a political maneuver. The Italian government is very keen of showing that something new is done to govern migration, to manage migration. And I guess the Albanian government is keen of obtaining some political concessions in return. Effectively, this is not likely to do much other than increasing the vulnerability of people who are subject to it.
I wanted to ask as well from your perspective, so we've talked about legal, the legal issues that come up, and you touched on it very briefly there, you know, this idea of just moving people around like they're cattle or something. What are your, do you have any ethical concerns, human rights concerns about this plan? You know, these are human beings, they haven't done anything wrong, but yet they're being kept potentially in a closed center. There's a big question mark over which rights apply to them from which country. What ethical concerns do you have about this idea as it stands?
Yeah, absolutely. In addition to the issues that we have raised until now, I think, you know, it takes a long period of time for boats that rescue individuals in the sea close to Italy to arrive to Albania. So you would have to imagine a situation where people who are already in a very precarious situation, maybe some of them have been traumatized, for sure they are dehydrated, and they have to endure at least 2 days of navigation, and then again be placed in administrative detention with very few guarantees of legal protection and respect for their rights. So of course there are a lot of ethical concerns regarding whether this is fair and just towards the people who are subject to it, but also whether it makes sense, whether it is really the most effective thing to do from the perspective of the government.
But why not do this in Italy? Why in Albania? And why is Italy so keen to go ahead with this?
So that's a very good question. I think the context for Italy is that the current government has been elected with a strong promise of reducing the number of people who arrive on the coasts. But what happened since Giorgia Meloni, the current prime minister, took power, is that the number of people who have arrived went up quite dramatically. I think in 2022, the number of people who arrived in Italy through the sea was about 100,000, and now we are at 145,000 in 2023 alone. There has been a lot of media attention on this issue, and so the government really wanted to do something on this. Previously, what we had seen with other governments was also an attempt to find a solution at the European level through resettlement, for example, and the reform of the Dublin system. This government has tried to engage in negotiations with other countries outside of the European Union. Now, of course, cooperation is very important, and I think it's a great thing that countries cooperate to govern migration. But this is a slightly different thing. It's about moving responsibility away from your territory.
Lorenzo, thank you very much for your expertise and for your insights on this topic.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks. On Wednesday, the European Commission published the 2023 Progress Report for Albania, taking stock of the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to meeting the requirements of the EU membership in a number of key areas. The report is over 130 pages long, so to break things down for us, I'm joined by Gledis Gjepali, Executive Director of the European Movement Albania. Good afternoon, welcome to Inside Albania.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure.
Now, as I said, the report is very long and there is a lot of information in there which is maybe not particularly interesting to our average viewer. But what good news? Let's start with the good news. What good news did the report bring?
Well, it's a positive report. So that's the first good news. And the second is that it supports and it encourages that the opening of the negotiations to start on December this year. So this is a clear endorsement, which is, of course, needed by the Commission. And now it's up to the member states in the Council to decide. But the Commission, the technical evaluation of all the reforms of the country have passed a positive review. And that's a good news.
So does that mean, because I'll just explain for the viewers, each sort of section of the report, Albania is graded in a way, you know, at what level of preparedness it has. Has Albania either improved or stayed the same across the board, or has it regressed in any areas?
No, there is no regression in any of the topics evaluated by the report. There is different levels of progress in different areas. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But the positive wording, it can be noticed in all the key areas. So Albania has progressed at different speeds in different areas, I can say.
And just to pick on a few areas, specific areas, where has Albania seen very good progress over the last year in the view of the European Commission, specifically?
Well, yeah, the justice reform, I think it's the most important one, and it continues to deliver progress, and this is also detailed with the completion of the Constitutional Court, the Special Court for the prosecution institutions. So the vetting process it's going smoothly, although we know that there have been delays, but at least it looks that it's going in the right direction to be closed in the next years. And this is very important because the justice reform is one of the key components when evaluating the rule of law cluster for each of the countries, which, as we know, the new methodology is the key issue for each of the Western Balkan countries who are in the accession process.
Now, for some of the less positive comments in the report, I saw that corruption was raised as an area with serious concerns. The report said it's prevalent in many areas of public and business life and preventative measures have very little impact. Another section which jumped out at me, being a journalist, was freedom of expression, limited progress made, problems with lack of financial transparency, media ownership, working conditions, verbal and physical attacks, smear campaigns and slap suits against journalists. These were some of the areas where I was disappointed. Perhaps there wasn't much progress. But in your view as well, were there any other areas where maybe we could have hoped for a little more progress and improvement?
Well, it needs to be said that the report also, apart from evaluating the progress in all the areas, it's also adapted to the current situation that we are in the process. So the next step is the opening and starting of the talks on the first cluster. and then will open many issues to be discussed and to be translated into homework for Albania. So at this stage, the Commission says that there is enough progress to advance to the next stage. But the issues like media freedom, fight against corruption, fight against organized crime, these are persistent issues that will mm-hmm. continue to stay high on the agenda of reforms that Albania need to implement.
Do you see real progress when we look at the reports over the last few years? Do you think this is an accurate reflection of how things are here?
Well, yes and no. I mean, the yes, it's because we should see it also in the larger context. And Albania, it's now clearly the best in the class from the Western Balkan countries. If we compare the other reports and what's happening in mm-hmm. the other countries. When there is the no, because of course we want to see more positive development in the country, because we have been stuck for a long time in this process. So it's looking for a bureaucratic or a technocratic view. It's appropriate this evaluation for a country who should start the negotiation right now. So it's in the beginning of the process.
What real purpose do you think these reports have for, you know, your average Albanian citizen, aside from the politics? Why should they care?
It's a technocratic document, so it's difficult to read it for a person who is not involved in this issue. It's not his daily work. I think that being debated by politicians, it's a good sign. Unfortunately, I'd see it in the last year. It's not debated enough. It's mm-hmm. forgotten after one day. We debate more when there is a high-level event or meeting, when there is some declaration, where sometimes they don't say anything, but there is a lot of discussion who said this, who said that, and less discussion about these reports, which are very important, because they do a screening, a scan of the problematics of our society. So it's not just the way ahead towards EU standards, it's also what's missing, what's lacking. And I think that it's useful, and there is a part here to play, especially from the media, but also from the civil society, to make it more, to explain it more, to mm-hmm. make it more readable or digestible for the public.
Now, my last question for you, I heard from one of my colleagues in another European country today that there were some comments circulating that perhaps some of the criticism in Western Balkan countries' reports had been watered down. So they'd been given sort of a slightly rosier report than they maybe deserved because of the fact that, as we know, the Commission is now going to push ahead with opening a session processes for Moldova and Ukraine. So it was sort of, they're saying, oh, the Western Balkans got a rosier outlook, less criticism, to keep them a bit happier because of what's happening with Moldova and Ukraine. Do you think this is a fair analysis?
Yes, to a certain degree, I think that it's true that the Commission has watered down a little bit its tones, but I don't think it's only for this year. I've seen it in the last, let's say, 3 or 4 years. And this is also because of what the member state ask from the Commission. Sometimes they are more critical, mm-hmm. sometimes they are not critical, but the decision making is different. So that's why the Commission doesn't want to jump into the debate when the member states will not deliver at the end, because they are the ones who take the decisions. That's why the language is more balanced, more careful, so not to make big promises, but also not to to punish the countries for
not to demotivate
them.
They want to keep them a bit motivated, and you know.
Of course, and the Commission is like in the middle of two fires.
Glidis, thank you very much for your insights.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's all for this week. Remember, you can tune in to Inside Albania on Euronews Albania at 5 o'clock every Saturday on our YouTube channel or across all major podcasting platforms. Miropafshim.